Every good endowment, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Please stand. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Please be seated. First off, I've been meaning to say this, but have forgotten. You've seen these vestments for the last number of Sundays, but these are fairly new vestments, newly purchased, and I will say they are absolutely beautiful. So thank you for your continued support and contributions to the Latin Mass Society of Madison. In today's reading from St. James, he says, every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In this morning's office of readings, St. Maximus of Turin gives a reflection on this light. He says, Christ is risen. His rising brings life to the dead, forgiveness to sinners, and glory to the saints. And so David the prophet summons all creation to join in celebrating the Easter festival. Rejoice and be glad, he cries, on this day which the Lord has made. The light of Christ is an endless day that knows no night. Christ is this day, says the apostle. Such is the meaning of his words. Night is almost over. Day is at hand. He tells us that night is almost over, not that it is about to fall. By this, we are meant to understand that the coming of Christ's light puts Satan's darkness to flight, leaving no place for any shadow of sin. His everlasting radiance dispels the dark clouds of the past and checks the hidden growth of vice. The Son is that day to whom the day, which is the Father, communicates the mystery of his divinity. So I'm going to say that last line again. His everlasting radiance dispels the dark clouds of the past and checks the hidden growth of vice. The Son is that day to whom the day, which is the Father, communicates the mystery of his divinity. He is the day who says through the mouth of Solomon, I have caused an unfailing light to rise in heaven. And as in heaven no night can follow day, so no sin can overshadow the justice of Christ. The celestial day is perpetually bright and shining with brilliant light. Clouds can never darken its skies. In the same way, the light of Christ is eternally glowing with luminous radiance and can never be extinguished by the darkness of sin. This is why John the Evangelist says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never been able to overpower it." And so, my brothers, each of us ought surely to rejoice on this holy day. Let no one, conscious of his sinfulness, withdraw from our common celebration, nor let anyone be kept away from our public prayer by the burden of his guilt. Sinner he may indeed be, but he must not despair of pardon on this day, which is so highly privileged. For if a thief could receive the grace of paradise, how could a Christian be refused forgiveness? So the power of the light that comes to us, that light of day is the Father, he says, but we have come to know the light of the Father through the light of Christ, which is the light of day, coming into our world. And this idea that the light never fades. Well, here in this life, we have day moves into night, night becomes day. It happens within our own lives. And yet there is a continuous light that never fades in heaven. And so I think it's important for us to acknowledge, sit with, because the goodness of the Lord, I think from our human perspective, is hard to comprehend. It's so good. It's so persistent. And it prevails over all darkness. It prevails over every limitation. It's not easy for us to understand or even grasp that reality. St. James continues, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, there's another translation that says, "Of his own will, we have been begotten." And if we know within the creed, Christ is begotten. We are made. Christ is begotten, consubstantial with the Father. So what does this mean for us? It is by God's grace that we are begotten. We are children, beloved sons of the Father through his sanctifying grace that comes through to us through the sacraments. And so where and how does that light of Christ come into our lives? It is through sanctifying grace, which comes to us through the Eucharist. And it also lifts us up, elevates us into that communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's beautiful for us to realize that even when we don't experience it, that that light that never fades in heaven is being poured out upon us in and through his grace, which comes to us through Christ. He continues, "Know this, my beloved brethren, that every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." So to be able to receive the grace of Christ, we have to receive. Before we speak, before we give, before we do, we receive. He says, "Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God." St. Thomas Aquinas says that anger flows from sorrow. So where do we experience sorrow? It is important for us to acknowledge those areas and respond properly, accordingly, Now, St. Thomas Aquinas does ask the question, can God get angry? And the answer is yes. But his anger does not precede the use of reason, it comes after. And so sorrow is maybe known or experienced, but we don't act out of that sorrow without first thinking it through and making sure that it is properly ordered. But we all know that we oftentimes will act out of our sorrow without having much control or even much thought. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And I think I've shared this with you before, but meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a guided, directed strength, power. And so someone who is angry for the right reason and responds properly, accordingly. So there's a verb, which is to meek a horse, which is to break a stallion. Meekness. It is not ridding the beast or the animal or the man from his strength or his power, but it is teaching the beast or the man the ability to properly order that strength. And so I love this. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Is that not what we receive when we receive the sacraments? It is grace that is bestowed upon us that we get to live out of for the rest of our life. So you think baptism, confirmation, we continue to receive the grace that flows through the Holy Eucharist, reconciliation, anointing of the sick. We've got the grace that continues to flow from ordination or from marriage. And so to receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we come here to the holy altar, the light of the Father, the dawn from on high, breaks upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, which is that day that never fades in eternal life. And we gain access in and through the grace of the sacraments, which is the word spoken here and now in our midst. And that grace comes flowing upon us.